Daniel's fast. Yeah, I made a part-time. Yeah, I'll do it part-time. I'm not going to buy into it. Guess what? I did. Little history. At age 24, diagnosed with high blood pressure. It was like 200 over 105. That's what it was when I was diagnosed. Under medication for all these years, my average blood pressure was about 160 over 95. That's all the better we could do. Cholesterol, 190. Not quite at the 200 yet, but it was up there. I'm a type 2 diabetic, so I was running, you know, not full-blown, but I was up there. Well, it just so happened last Friday, I had blood work done. Went to the doctor. Walked in, and the doctor looked at me and said, "Are you crazy?" I go, "Why?" He says, "Well, my blood pressure, 128 over 80. My cholesterol, 97. My blood sugars were down to about 102, which is that far. I can't tell you how much this has absolutely changed. Once I got past the caffeine freakout, this is a life-changing experience. And it's something that I am going to continue with because it is so phenomenally healthy for me. And by the way, just for the fun facts, even though women don't hate me, I've also lost 20 pounds.
See, God cares about not only your spiritual body, but your physical body, right? This is our temple where the Holy Spirit lives and dwells, and we need to respect it and take care of it. And through the book of Daniel, it says that the king wanted to feed him all kinds of rich and fabulous foods. And Daniel said, "You know what? All I really need is vegetables and water, and I'm good." And he was healthier and better than the king's food had done for the other people. And so in being committed to that, I commend you for being committed. It wasn't easy in the beginning, was it? It gets easier as you go along. All right, Sherry. There she is. She has another wonderful testimony.
Good morning. All right, so my testimony is I had cadaver transplants in my knee 2 years ago, actually in October. And since then, I've had never right. My knee's never been right. It's always been full of fluid. And about a month before I started the fast, I was at the doctor's 2 weeks in a row having fluid taken out of my knee because my knee was so big I could barely bend it and it was painful. I couldn't walk. And they took out a lot of fluid one day. Then I went back the next week. They took out more fluid. They had MRIs. I was going to the rheumatologist, all sorts of stuff. And so I started the Daniel fast. And unlike Steve, I really struggled through the whole fast with cravings, but I stuck to it. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I've always wanted to read the Bible every single day, but I was never, I don't know, I just, not that I wasn't motivated, but I just wasn't disciplined because I was busy and there was just, by the end of the day, I was too tired. So I was determined. I did the fast so I could read the Bible every day, find out what God was trying to tell me, write in my prayer journal every day, and read the devotionals. And it was amazing. The devotionals every day was everything I was going through that day. It was like, how did God know that this was happening in my life today? I can't believe it. It was He speaking to me every day in the devotional. And so last week, I woke up, and all of a sudden, I woke my husband up and said, "Oh, my God, I have a knee. Oh, my God, for the first time in 2 years, I actually have a kneecap." And it was unbelievable. And only through the Daniel fast and all the prayers and the obedience to God and reading the devotionals, I have a kneecap. I don't have to go to the rheumatologist. I don't have to have any meds. I have Jesus, and my knee is healed. Woo-hoo!
Amen, amen. All right. Hey, Cameron, is that started, the recording? Oh, thank you. All right. Isn't that good to hear? Are there any other testimonies of anything that God has done in the past 3 weeks? Even if you didn't do the Daniel fast, maybe there's something that God has answered prayer for you. Anyone else want to share something? I just want to encourage you. So anytime, Sherry texted me, a week ago and shared about her knee. And I knew that I was going to ask her to share this morning, and then I heard more from Steve. So anytime something happens in your life and you want to communicate, just give me a call and share, because that encourages me and it encourages the body of Christ when things are going on in your life, because not everybody always has a positive testimony. Sometimes we're in a valley place, and we need to hear those testimonies of what God is doing in your life to encourage us to keep going, because God is with us even in those valley places, but we want to celebrate with you when you're on a hilltop. Amen? Well, today we had our preview message last year about the 40 days of community, and today is our launch of the first week. When we gather this week in groups, we're going to be following up this message with another message from Rick Warren about being community, about being in a group, about making a difference as a group. And so I'm going to preach a message called Why We Need Each Other. And we added the banner today, community. It's a place for you. Do you like how it says unity? When everybody is in one heart and one mind, we're together going forward in God's plans and purposes. It's exciting times. And it's a place for you. It's a place for you to belong and be a part of. So let me pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you have called us to be in your family, God, that we can opt and choose to do that. You give us free will to choose, and we can choose to be a part of that family, God, by claiming you as our Lord and Savior, God, that we are part of that family. And God, we seek to grow as a family, to help one another, encourage one another. So God, I pray, Lord, that this word today be able to encourage us on our walk, help us grow, help us move forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so today's message, I think, is kind of radical. Not radical in a crazy way, but radical in a countercultural kind of way. God says, if you will do what I tell you, you will never again have to deal with loneliness. You'll be able to overcome fatigue, fear, failure, frustration. Your life will be so much easier if you'll just do it the way I plan for you to do it. Because the anecdote to all of those things that I just listed is the concept of community. Now, Americans, like Ryan said this morning, we were warming up, it's American, not Americant. We were talking, that's right. But Americans, we certainly love our independence, right? This country is birthed on the foundation of the Declaration of Independence. We like to be independent. There's lots of songs that talk about that. I got to be me. Does anybody know that one? Or Frankie, I did it my way. And Cameron's been known to use this lovely phrase with me every once in a while. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how to live my life. We like our independence. So we think sometimes, and we are mistaken, to think that happiness comes from independence. Either financial independence or relationally independent, independent in every way, yet we've never had more unhappy people in this country and throughout the world. Suicide rates continue to climb. Why? Because independence is not the answer. Happiness comes from interdependence, from community. So in Romans chapter 12, it says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. So I'd like you to do something for me. Turn to the person closest to you and say, you need me. All right, now look at your neighbor and say, I need you. I need you. I need you. We need each other. We're going to look at why we need each other. I'm going to give you five reasons why we need a church family, or five reasons why we might need a small group to be in, a few other friends who will get to know you on a deeper level. And the Bible gives us five reasons. So here we go. Number one, I need others to walk with me, to walk with me. So in other words, I need others to help me grow spiritually. Yes? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, oftentimes the Bible uses that term to walk as your spiritual journey. Why? Because life is not a sit-down thing. Can anybody attest to that? It's not, you know, a spectator sport. You get involved, you get in the game. It's a journey. You're always growing. You're always moving. Your life is a journey. There's a destination to get to. So examples from the Bible that you would read in Scripture, we're told to walk in the light, to walk in love, walk in obedience, walk in the Holy Spirit, walk as Jesus walked, walk in wisdom. All of those are telling us that it's a moving thing. It's a walk, a spiritual journey. And it's important to note that God never intended for you to walk through life alone. Never. And just to clarify, okay, this has nothing to do with whether or not you're single or married, okay? There are singles who are actively involved in community and marrieds who are desperately lonely. You can probably know people in your life that are like that. So it has nothing to do with being married, but being part of community. So what are the benefits of walking with others? I'm going to give you a few. Number one, it's safer. I don't know if you've ever been out walking alone at dark or at night, and maybe you have to go down some creepy alley. Wouldn't you rather be walking with someone than not with someone, right? It's safer. Number two, it's supportive. It keeps you from giving up. At Camp Huelva, where we stay for the summer, they do this Silly Socks Triathlon. And I was part of the people that were out in the boat while they were doing the swimming leg. And there was this one girl that was really like, you know, swimming. And when they're getting tired at the end, I was getting concerned for her because she was really, really tired and still had to go a distance. And everybody starts yelling, go, go, you can make it. You're doing a great job. You're almost there. Constantly, constantly yelling. And so you're encouraging them. You need people around you to encourage you because it's not always going to be easy. There's a Zambian proverb that says this, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. This time of year, too, is a great opportunity to see the geese doing their V formation, right? They do that. They fly as a group because it's better. They get the draft together so they can make more progress, and then you always hear that one goose, right? Doing the, do a goose.
Uh-huh.
But they're doing it to encourage. They're constantly doing that little goosey sound, and that encourages the flock. It's a gander. I don't know what it's called. Flock of geese to make it in that little V formation. They do better together. So it's safer, it's supportive, and it's smarter. You know that you'll learn a whole lot more when you go through life with other people close to you? Proverbs 28:26 says this, only fools trust what they think alone is right. If I'm the only one in a group of people that thinks I know all the answers and everybody else disagrees with me, chances are we might be wrong. But we would never know that unless we were in community. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. When I walk, I'm one of those people that walks very quickly. I don't think I go anywhere slowly. I do this all the time, no matter where I'm going. And when I'm walking with my husband, Tom likes to walk a little bit more relaxed, right? When we're going someplace, and I don't know if you have those people in your life, you're going for a walk. Some people like to walk fast. Some people like to walk slow. And when we walk together with people, we learn a great thing, and that's called cooperation. Right? Because if I want to walk with Tom and he wants to walk with me, I can't dictate the pace in my own thing, running around like that, and he can't necessarily drag me down. But somewhere between the two, we would meet up and somewhere meet in the middle, and that is that spirit of cooperation. And we learn that by walking through this spiritual journey together. Yeah. That's right. So the first thing that God said after he placed Adam in the Garden of Eden was this, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created two groups, really. Your physical family, we're born into a physical family. We have people that we're, you know, related to, and a spiritual family, all right? You become born again, you are born into a spiritual family, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. The one will not last forever. Your physical family does not last forever. People die, people move away, that happens. But your spiritual family, that family that you that comes alongside of you in the body of Christ, that family lasts forever. That's an eternal family. Hebrews 10 tells us this, not to give up the habit. And habit meaning, of course, that you do it all the time. Anybody have had any habits? So do not give up the habit, it says, the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. How? By meeting together. We continue to come together, not only just on Sunday mornings, but in our small groups during the week. Because oftentimes we don't need a crowd, we need community. We need to know people intimately. We need to have those intimate relationships and know that people will be there with us. And just an aside, it is not too late to sign up for a group, okay? I know Pastor Renee talked about that already, but it's not. It's always okay to join and bring a friend. This is a wonderful teaching that we're doing, 240 Days of Community. It's going to be life-changing, and I just highly recommend it. There's only 6 weeks, right? We're not asking you to join a group forever. Just 6 weeks, right? 6 weeks. All right, we need people to walk with us. And number two, we need people to work with us. I need people to work with me. God put you here to do certain things, and you need other people to help you do those certain things, right? Ephesians 2:10 says, God made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. So God decided all these things before you were even born, who your parents would be, where you would live, the people that you would come in contact with, so you know that you have a ministry that God has already placed within your life due to where he's presented you in the world. The people that we see around us in this community and that we come in contact with as our families and where we work is God ordained. You know, right here is a precursor to heaven, all right? But in heaven, we'll never be tired. Do you know that? We continue to work for the Lord in heaven, but we'll never get tired. We get tired here, and oftentimes, frequently, right? We're frequently tired. Anybody ever profess that I've been tired before? I've been tired. I'm weary. You know, oftentimes I think we get tired because we try to do everything ourselves. I'm guilty of that. I'm one of those people that likes to do a lot of things by myself, and it's much better when you share the load with somebody else. Ecclesiastes 4 says this, two are better than one because they get more done by working together. Okay, that's Bible. Two are better than one because we get more done working together. I can't do a whole lot on my own, and I can't make a huge impact on the world by myself, but as a team, right, we can make a huge impact. If you think about it, one little snowflake, not very frightening when you see them come down one at a time, but a whole lot of snowflakes, they can make a huge impact. They can stop transportation and flights and from things happening the way that we know it, just from snow getting together and doing it as a team. And what? That too. All right. So I need people to walk with me. I need people to work with me. And number three, I need others to watch out for me. So I need people to defend me. I need people to protect me, stand up for me, keep me on track, warn me. And so it goes for you. You need people to defend you, protect you, stand up for you, keep you on track, and warn you. We need people to watch out for us. Philippians 2, verses 4 says this, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Now, I said in the beginning, this is a radical message, countercultural. That's countercultural. We've been taught to, it's all about us. We're going to take care of what we need. It's our hurts. It's our fears. It's our things, our needs. And that once that gets met, then I can think about other people. But that's not what God tells us. We have to think about other people greater than ourselves. Have you ever driven around and seen those neighborhood watch signs? You know, if you're going through that neighborhood, you know that there's people watching out for their neighbors. They're taking care of one another. And that's a sign of community. Sometimes we go away, right? We might go away for a few days, and we might ask a neighbor, a good friend, hey, can you stop by the house every once in a while and make sure everything's okay? Make sure nobody's breaking in my house. So we're concerned because our stuff, our houses, the things inside, they're important to us. So do you have anyone watching out for your soul? Because that lasts forever. Your soul is certainly more important than your stuff. And we all have blind spots, stuff we just can't see. You know, sometimes you might have a taillight on your car, like in the physical, right? We have a taillight on the car. We would never know it unless somebody said, hey, you have a taillight on your car. Or maybe you're standing up here one Sunday morning and you're about to say something and your fly's down. Well, you wouldn't know that your fly was down unless somebody was looking out for you and watching out for you. And we have something in our family we call booger love. Is I love you so much that I will tell you if you have a booger in your nose or something hanging like Trishelle said, hey, you got something on your tooth this morning. She hooked me up. I'm like, thank you for doing that because you care about me. So we need people in our lives watching out for us. Hebrews 13 says this, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. And the word keep there is the same thing as being vigilant. You just don't do it once. You know, we look out for people and then like, eh, they're all right now. No. Think about how you think about your kids. You watch out for them all the time. You protect them. You're being vigilant, making sure they're safe. We need those same people around us, and we need to be willing to do it for others. So going back 10 years since 9/11, we as a nation have had to become much more vigilant, right? We've had a greater enemy, or we do have a greater enemy than terrorists. Do you know who that is? The devil, Satan, okay? Hates you, wants to defeat you, mess up your life, hurt you, harm you, and make you totally ineffective. He wants you to miss God's will. And he's planned to get you to be angry, impatient, lustful, worried, fearful, and depressed. And he knows how that works for each and every one of you. Okay? He knows what buttons to push. And so I'm going to read something from, this is part of the 9/11 reports that were produced, you know, 10 years ago. Or 14 years ago now. Listen to this and see if it doesn't relate to our spiritual battle with Satan every day. Okay? This is, you know, in the physical, recognizing to be vigilant with terrorists. But just hear it through a spiritual ear, okay? We learned about an enemy who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. The enemy rallies broad support by political grievances, but its hostility towards us and toward our values is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious pluralism. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets. Collateral damage is not in its lexicon. Do you know that Satan doesn't care who gets hurt? Not one iota. So it goes on to say, we did not understand how grave this threat really was. Do you understand how grave the threat to your spiritual life really is? Now we didn't adjust our policies and our plans and our practices to deter or defeat it. The test before us is to sustain the unity of purpose and meet the challenges now confronting us. We need to design a balanced strategy for the long haul to attack terrorists while at the same time protecting ourselves against future attacks. So there's an offensive and a defensive. You know, the devil doesn't come around and wear a little red suit with a tail and hold a pitchfork and come up to you and go, boo. It's not the way it works. Instead, he uses things like habits you can't break, hurts you can't forgive, hang-ups you can't change, problems, circumstances, relationships that mess up your life, and it's all indirect. He's always trying to mess you up that way. And we can be defeated simply because we try to go it alone. So again, from Ecclesiastes 4, a person standing alone could be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And that's why you need community. So who's watching your back? Who do you have watching your back? Your spiritual back. And the second part of that is, whose back are you watching? Are you looking out for other people? Are you helping other people in their spiritual journey? Community is basically God's answer to defeat. We need to be in community. We need each other. All right. We need people to walk with us, to work with us, to watch out for us. And number four, I need others to wait and weep with me. To wait and weep with me. And what does that mean? Well, people that will be there in the inevitable crises of our life. We're not meant to face all these things alone. You don't need a lot. You don't need 100 people to come to your aid when things are going tough. You need about 3, maybe 3 to 5 people that you know that you can count on. They'll be with you, praying with you, and praying for you. The thing is, in order to have those people there for you, you have to be willing to be there for them. You know, on Sundays, you can't just come in and check out. I mean, in order to create relationships, you need to be part of community. You know, I was reading Rick Warren's notes on this, and he said there was a gentleman who used to come forever, for like 2 years, just came in on Sunday and left, came in on Sunday and left, came in on Sunday and left, over and over and over again, never got involved, never helped, never volunteered, never became a part of a group. And they have a big church, okay? It's easier for us to notice when people are missing here, when we're smaller in number, but when you have thousands of people, you don't see. So the only way that you can really become part of community is stepping out. And sometimes it's stepping outside of our comfort zone. Like we talked about last week, you have to get outside that comfort zone to be able to be part of a group and get to know people more intimately. Sometimes we think it's just easier to stay home. It's easier to stay home. I don't have to stretch myself. I don't have to put myself out there because I might get hurt. Yeah, you might get hurt. But anyway, this gentleman, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then he suffers a heart attack and ends up in the hospital. And nobody, including the pastor, came to see him. So Rick Warren was traveling, speaking somewhere, but nobody in the church knew him. He had been going there for 2 years, and nobody knew his name. Nobody knew his family. Nobody knew his situation. How tragic is that? And people will get angry and leave a church. I'm going to leave that church. Why? Well, because nobody came to me when I was in the hospital. But you have to go outside of your comfort zone. You have to become part of community so that people will know you, care for you. It's part of being part of the body of Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, all suffer together. We need to come around each other. Community is God's answer to despair. Also in Romans 12:15, it says this, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You know, oftentimes in our group settings, there'll be something that'll happen and people are sharing something and people will begin to cry. Sometimes that makes people uncomfortable. Uh-oh, Betty Sue's crying. What do we do? I'll tell you what you do. Maybe just stop and say, you know what, let's take a break right now. Can we pray for you right now, Betty Sue? You're not Betty Sue. And we don't have a Betty Sue. But just, can we pray for you right now? Obviously, something's on your heart. Let's just pray. We don't always have to be following an agenda. And sometimes people don't want you to fix what they've got going on. They just want you to be there. She has a wonderful, Pastor Renee works as a chaplain. And as a chaplain, sometimes she's faced with so many situations. She goes, I don't even know how to deal with them. They're so difficult. And she has learned the power of presence. And that really is all it is. People just want people to know that they care. Pray with them. Sit with them. Listen to what's going on. You don't have to solve all their problems. You probably can't. The only one that really can is God. But we need to make ourselves available to be there for people. All right, and the final reason is this. I need others to witness with me. Okay? Witness with me. You have a life message that God wants you to share. We call that a testimony, right? But that's your life story. You have a story of what God's done in your life, and he's calling you to share it with other people. If you don't share it, I tell you what, it'll never be heard, and that's a shame because God has done something in your life, and you can share that. What's the best way to witness? Jesus said in John 13, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's your love, not for God, but your love for each other, other believers. So truly, it's not our buildings. It's not our music. It's not my sermons. It's nothing. The people will see God through how you love one another. I want to tell you, we have a first-time guest survey that I send out to people, and I've read some of them to our leadership team when we've met before, but I'm going to tell you the primary thing that I hear back on all of those surveys is how loving the people are here, how welcoming, how friendly. Woody is named personally because he's so happy to see people in the morning. He's such a hugger. And that makes a difference. There are people out there that are tremendously lonely. Lonely. And they just need people to love on them, to show them God's love, because God loves them. God cares for them. And it's just our job to continue to show that love. Is there anyone going to heaven because of you? Ask yourself that question. When Pastor Renee talked about bringing a friend, we like to go to groups. Sometimes we just like, you know, we like to go to groups because we like to go to groups. I like to hang out with people that I already know, and I like to talk about the Bible because I already know, you know, I already have a relationship with God. Well, honestly, we need to reach out to other people. Like that flyer, bringing those people there, that was awesome. When you hang those, I hang those things in faith. Please, God, whoever this person that needs to read this, and I hang them, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Well, right then, God had something for those people. Even if they never come back, they were able to see the love of God for one night and have people pray with them and be there for them. Invite cards. Do we still have those? Somewhere. Okay, we can have them out of them. That's another thing we talked about a few weeks ago. Give an invite card to somebody. Those things about the groups, invite somebody. It's that simple. Just hand it to somebody that you care about. Invite them. There's always room for one more, right? Even if you had to sit on the floor, even if you split your cupcake in half and shared, there's always room for one other person. There's tons of room in heaven. And we need to make, we need to pack heaven, right? That's our job. And you don't have to be afraid because we're doing it together. Everybody's doing this. God's answer to fear is community. We're doing it together. So Philippians 1:27. Above all else, you must live in a way that brings honor to the good news about Christ. Then, whether I visit you or not, I will hear that all of you think alike. I will know that you are working together and that you are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. Don't you love that image of just us struggling side by side? Right? If we were trying to pull something together and we're all hitched together, that unity of purpose, and we're moving forward, doesn't matter if you're struggling, right? If you were making strides together, be like work, but you look down the line and you have, you know, Sherry's next to me and Tony and Diane and Steve and Corrine and Mary and Chris and Pastor and everybody, we're all lined up like this. And you look down, you're like, yeah, come on, we can do this. It is, it's a struggle together, but you're looking around and you're not doing it by yourself. How easy would it be to get defeated if you were pulling at something and you had that block behind you and it was just you? And there was nobody, not even anybody sitting here to cheer me on, nothing. But then I'm pulling at something and then somebody else grabs a hold. Yeah, thanks, brother, let's go. We can do this, and then somebody else. And then we have this line and an army, because that's what it is. It's a spiritual army to do damage to the forces of evil. Do you know that? And we get to do that together. We get to come together and do that together. Pulling side by side, yoked together for purpose, for unity, for doing it things of eternal reward. Nothing better. There's nothing better. Community. We all need each other. We need other believers to walk with us, work with us, watch out for us. We need people to wait and weep with us, and we need them to witness with us. I encourage you, if you've not signed up for a group, please do. Please do. It makes all the difference. It really does. This could be the turning point in your life. Maybe you've just been kind of going along to get along and everything's good. And maybe just in the next 40 days, just like God did something in 3 weeks of the Daniel fast and in the two lives that you heard about today and even more that we didn't hear about. We have 40 days to share together. 40 days of community and learning how to work together as the body of Christ. Because it's when working together that we're going to make an impact. One of us, everybody going their own way. You don't make much of an impact that way. But when we do it together, there's going to be unity of purpose and we're going to make an impact. Let the revolution begin. Let the revolution begin. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I'm excited. I needed this word myself this morning. I'm going to tell you, I did. I came in this morning kind of like, I was feeling a little down, feeling a little defeated. But I'll tell you, God's word and his promises, they get you pumped, don't they? Yeah. Okay. last week we did pray for needs. We invited people forward that had specific needs. Is there anybody here today that has specific needs that would like to come forward for prayer? And we can come along you and believe for that for you today. Anyone? let me close this in prayer this morning. And you know what, if something in your heart saying, yeah, I really want prayer, but I'm uncomfortable stepping in front of everybody, that's okay. You can come see me afterwards and we'll pray together, all right? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you've called us into this wonderful organism called the body of Christ, a living, breathing, working, walking, moving thing, making advances for your mighty kingdom, God. I thank you, Lord, that we all play a part and that this body is sick if we're not all there. We all need to be there, God, and we all need to be together and working for what you've called us to do, God. And so I pray, God, that you continue to bless the groups as we move forward in the next 40 days, God. I pray, Lord, that there are an opportunity for those to gather and to truly, iron sharpens iron, to work with one another and encourage one another and ask questions and seek, God, seek your truth, seek your will for their lives, and as a group, really bind together. Develop deep relationships, God, where they know they can count on one another and that they can be there for one another. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we move forward through these groups and you call us to do this outreach event that we're going to do in October, God, that we can really make an impact in this community. Continue, God. And so even this Saturday, God, as we stand up in front of the community and share about Trunk or Treat and share about the church, I pray, Lord, that there those that would come and realize that we exist. Because not everybody knows that we're even here on Sunday morning, God. So we give you thanks, Lord, for opening a door for us to be at this event on Saturday. And so, Lord, those that need to find out more about you, God, those that are seeking, I pray that they come by that table and that they see a friendly face and they're able to ask questions. And I pray, God, that this is an opportunity to gather people back here on Sunday to hear more about your beautiful plans and purposes for their life and how much you love them, God. So bless your people, God, this week as they come and as they go. Encourage them, strengthen them. Keep us safe from all harm, God. Through your mighty name, Jesus, Savior of the world, I pray. Amen.